I wanted to tell you that this morning in prayer, and Angela was not in prayer time this morning, I asked the Lord to walk among us, and I asked him to touch Gladys. And so I found it fascinating that Angela stands up here and first thing she said is, God is walking amongst us. And then she was talking about, she spoke to Gladys about God touching her eyes. And I just think that we need to acknowledge when God is doing something and responding to things that we've asked him to do. And then, so this morning in my prayer time at home, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, would you bring signs and wonders following the preaching of the word this morning? And that was just me privately crying out to him. And then my husband comes and prays over me this morning here at church for the word. And he says, Lord, just let signs and wonders follow. And then Angela gets up and she said, is there something with power and declaration? So I declare signs and wonders following the preaching of the word this morning. He's good. He's good. It's actually unbelievable that I'm standing up here this morning. If you saw me yesterday, you would think, how is she up here? And God is so faithful. He's so faithful. And so, Lord, I just give you this word this morning. And I just ask that you would use me. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the third Sunday of Advent. And we're doing a series about Christmas. Because it's good to remember what Christmas is really all about. And so I wanted to remind you, do you all sing some of the songs for Christmas? Yeah. And there are a lot of them are all about how Christmas is a happy, joyous time. You know, like it's a wonderful time of the year and jingle bells and it's a holly jolly Christmas. You know those kind of songs? And they really paint a picture of this idyllic, beautiful, trouble-free, you know, like walking in a winter wonderland and chestnuts roasting on an open fire. You know, they paint pictures for us. And so in our hearts and minds, we think of Christmas a certain way. And I don't know about you, but Christmas can stir up a lot of emotions in people, from frustration to sadness to my daughter, it's pure delight. And I asked you, are you satisfied with Christmas? Are you satisfied with Christmas? You see, Christmas can stir up people to be grumpy, and they can be disillusioned. Because what we walk through in everyday life doesn't match the movies about Christmas very often. And the songs we sing, all of that, and our imagination, I don't know about you, but I used to dream about, oh, when the kids were all together around the table, and the turkey's on the table, and all of that, and it rarely looked like I thought it was going to look. Have you experienced that? Or you spent a lot of time thinking about what you were going to get somebody, and they open it, and they hardly even respond, and you're like, you know, things are not always the way that we imagine them. And so there's lots of things that keep us from actually celebrating the incredible gift of Jesus, the King of Kings, come to the earth. Things like personal problems. Even this week, I was affected because there was so many people with issues. So many. And I was like, God, you're the healer. Release your healing. And it weighed on me. And then sometimes people at the holidays are so lonely. And sometimes their schedules are so full they can't even think about God. They only think about all there is to do. And there's money issues and commercialism and depression and visits from Mr. Scrooge. All of these things keep our heart from experience the wonder and awe that Christmas is really all about. I personally have to guard my own heart because stress and I can have stress and bad attitudes about Christmas. Yes, I can. And those things, they try to rob me from what God wants to reveal to me and how he wants to use me in this season. And so I ask you, how do we change this? How do we change our hearts and our attitudes? Do you think it is possible to walk in the joy of Jesus' birth, the way it was meant to bring? And I believe that the answer is found in Matthew chapter 2. And it is the story of the wise men. Y'all heard the story of the wise men before? Hundreds of times? Well, you get to hear it again this morning. Is that okay? So magi were wise men from the east. They saw a star that indicated the birth of a new king of Israel. And wanting to honor him with gifts, they set out on a journey and they followed the star to see the newborn king. And from the attitudes of these wise men and the events surrounding their journey, they're going to show us how to raise our level of joy. Does that sound good to you? So there are three lessons, three that you can learn from the wise men. There's only 12 verses about them in the Bible, just 12. That's it. And they're all in Matthew chapter 2. And yet from their story, I want to show you three things that will cause you to increase in your wonder and awe at Christmas time. So I'd like you to look at the screen and listen as we read, as I read Matthew 2:1. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem." And I want you to know something, that there are details lacking in our stories about the wise men. It doesn't tell us how many. It doesn't actually tell us where they came from, except for from the east. It doesn't tell us how far they journeyed. It doesn't tell us what made them come. It leaves a lot of details out, but scholars do a lot of studying and they've come up with some ideas that they add in. So be sure you know what the word says. And most think that these were men that studied ancient manuscripts around the world. And they think they were high position men, and they think they came from Babylon. And even though we don't know how many wise men there were, people think it's three because there were three gifts. Like, you couldn't have two people going on a gift, you know? Anyway, and I asked you this morning, have you ever considered how could they have known that the star represented the Messiah? How did they know that? And I want to tell you my answer. Are you ready? It's full of great wisdom. God spoke to him and showed him and told him to go. Does that sound good? That's good. Anyway, so lesson number one. Are you ready? Lesson number one. What do you seek? What do you seek? The joy you experience at Christmas is actually related to what you seek. So what are you looking for? What makes this time of the year special and wonderful and satisfying? Maybe that's a hard question. Is it? And what is the main thing that your heart is seeking? What is it? You see, some people think it's picturesque family gatherings. Sometimes they think it's just getting the perfect gift. Sometimes it's snow. Can you imagine? Sometimes it's about the parties you're invited to, and maybe, yeah. I know what it is. It's about the touching services you attend. Yeah? Maybe, yeah. The problem is they often don't deliver up to our expectation. And they often bring disappointment. The problem's not in Christmas. It's looking for satisfaction in the wrong thing. You see, the wise men came from the east. They show us how to increase joy by looking for the right thing. These travelers came to Jerusalem and they said, look at verse 2 of Matthew 2. Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. They were looking for the newborn king. The wise men were seeking an opportunity to worship Jesus. Christmas is meant to be the time of year that we're reminded about Jesus. Reminded that he actually came to earth, that he left heaven and came to earth. Christmas is a time to remember that he let go of who he was and became a man for you and I. That's an incredible gift. And we forget sometimes, and we need to remember that. It's an opportunity. Christmas time is an opportunity to experience a fresh glimpse of him who came. The wonder of God becoming flesh. That's mind-boggling. The wonder of God becoming flesh. Born in Bethlehem. There are reminders all around us of the season that we're in. And each of those should cause our hearts to bow in awe and worship. Actually, there should be wonder in our hearts. Actual wonder at the King that came to us. The King of Kings came to you. He came to earth for you. That ought to stir wonder in your heart. Christmas should cause worship to flow from our hearts. I don't think I've ever thought about Christmas causing worship to flow from my heart. But that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to remind us of who he is and what he did and where he came. How might our attitude shift if every carol, every advertisement, every card was a reminder to turn our eyes to the Savior? What might happen in our lives? Instead of it allowing the stuff to rob us of kingdom reality, we intentionally replace it with worship and wonder for Emmanuel, God with us. Hear this promise. I love it. In Luke chapter 11, verse 9. It says, so I asked you, I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. So I ask you, what are you seeking? Because this is a promise that when you seek, you'll find him. You will find him when you seek for him. He wants to be found. He's not hidden. He's not hidden, church. And the attitude of our hearts at Christmas is actually a choice. We can be bah humbug. We can. We can be mean and ornery. Or we can be full of delight and joy. We can be full of awe. But most of all, we can choose to be full of worship. Our hearts should be full of worship because it's the season that reminds us of what God did for you and I. You can choose to ignore it or dread it, or use this season to increase your revelation of Jesus Christ. What if every Christmas you said, what will God show me? What new revelation will I have as I worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? What might shift in me and change as I look to him? This verse tells us that one that seek and knock and ask. It just says all we have to do is seek, ask, and knock. That's all we have to do. It's amazing that true worship arises every time we turn and look at him. It really does. This morning, I was in awe as I heard what he was doing walking amongst you this morning. That he who sits in the heavens cared enough to walk amongst us in this church on this day in December. That's incredible. It's time to change what we're seeking. Seek out a fresh outpouring of his joy. Choose to change your journey at Christmas 2024. Change it even this day. Say, okay, from today on, through the season, my heart's going to be turned towards him. It's going to be looking for who came for me. Let's experience let the experiences he has planned for you penetrate your heart and cause new joy to erupt in your heart. This is what he wants for you. He wants for you abundant joy. How many are walking in abundant joy? I'm a little short on that. I need walking in abundant joy. And David announces this, and it's found in Psalms 40, verse 16. It says, "Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, 'The Lord be magnified.' Let all those that seek you rejoice and be glad in you." So are you like the wise man? Are you seeking him? Are you really seeking him? Or is everything else taking precedence over seeking him? Lesson number two. Where do you look? Seems strange question, huh? Where do you look? You see, your level of joy is directly related to where you're looking. As you read Matthew chapter 2, we learn from the Magi there are right and wrong places to look for Christmas. You see, the Magi went looking with human reasoning, and they said, where might I find a king? I'm looking for a king, so where might I find him? Oh, I know, he would be in Jerusalem, where kings are supposed to be. And so off they went to Jerusalem looking for the king. They went where they thought they would find him, the palace of King Herod, the capital city of Jerusalem. That was a big mistake. A big mistake. Herod's fear of a king being born caused him to seek to destroy this new baby. They were looking in the wrong place. See, we're tempted to look for joy at Christmas in the wrong place too. We think that joy comes from getting or giving the right gift. Dream about gifts ever? Or we look at other people's lives and we want what they have. We're looking for something that they carry. And we imagine that being able to be with family and will bring joy and satisfaction. And of course, we know that if only we could get a Christmas bonus, that would bring us great joy, right? We look in the wrong places for joy. Well, all these things can bring disappointment because our expectations seldom match our experience. If you look for joy in the wrong places, like in things and in people, you might find yourself frustrated, sad, and not joyful at all. But Matthew chapter 2 tells us that the Magi found the answer actually in the Word of God, in the Bible. They discovered it was where they should have looked to begin with. Look at Matthew chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. So they said to him, and it's the priests that are responding to the Magi, and they said, so they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'For you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" And with this new information, they looked again, and as they went, it's amazing, they saw the star again. The star appeared again, and they followed it to Bethlehem until they found the child, Jesus. The scripture says they found the child, Jesus, not the babe. He wasn't in the manger anymore when they finally found him. Look at Matthew 2, 7 to 10 with me. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." And when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, until it came and stood over where the young child was. And then look at verse 10. It's an amazing verse. It says, "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy." Do you know what, in the Passion Translation, that verse is translated? I'd like to to read it to you. It says, "And when they saw the star, they were so ecstatic that they shouted and celebrated with unrestrained joy." That word, exceedingly great joy, it was very strong language that we can't even put the right words to. There's something when they actually came into the presence of the Savior and they came to Jesus, they were filled with incredible joy. And I want you to know something. The same joy is available to us. It is. It's available. And it's not manufactured. It's not found in gifts or money or people. It's found in Him, the one who came to earth for us. It's found in Jesus. And do you know what the scriptures in Psalms say about Jesus? He had more joy than all of His companions. So if you need joy, the one place you get joy from is Jesus. And so I love what Psalm 16:11 says. It says, "You will show me the path of life." And then would you read the next phrase to me out loud? Where are you looking? Where are you looking? Where are you looking for joy? This tells us where it's at. It's in His presence. His joy carries presence. Let nothing else can. Nothing can satisfy like Him. Do you understand what one touch from Him will do? One word spoken to you, how it can shift how you feel and think. In you coming to His presence, everything shifts and changes. Our hearts need to be where we're longing to be in His presence continuously, because it's in His presence where we find what we need. Where are you looking? Where are you looking? Have you actually waited in His presence? Have you actually said, "For this season, Lord, would you fill me with joy? Would you fill me with your presence and with joy?" Yeah. Like the wise men, you can rejoice with exceedingly great joy. Exceeding great joy. No? Exceedingly great joy. Lesson number 3. What do you give? See, your level of joy at Christmas is directly related to what you give. The Magi, they came bearing gifts. Look at Matthew 2:11 with me. It says, "And when they came into the house, they saw the young child, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh." You see, they brought the appropriate gifts for a newborn king. The gifts showed reverence and worship for Jesus. Each of the gifts, each of those three gifts, spoke about Jesus' identity. The gold, it's a gift worthy of a king. It makes you think of royalty, right? Because it was it was also currency that helped the family out. God provided the gold. Frankincense, it symbolizes Jesus' deity and His willingness to sacrifice Himself. Do you know where frankincense was used the most? It was used in the tabernacle, in the temple. And it was used in sacrifices. Yeah. And it was incense used by the priests. Isn't it interesting that He was given the gift of frankincense and He became our high priest? Jesus is our high priest. He's the one we come to. We don't have to go through the old system. We can talk directly to Him, and He hears us and He answers. He is our high priest. And then the last gift, maybe it would seem like a weird gift, myrrh. It's key ingredient. The key ingredient in preparing a body for burial. That's what myrrh was. Maybe it symbolized His humanity and the manner in which He could save His people. I find it fascinating. So He was brought myrrh at His birth. and he was offered myrrh at the cross. We read in the scripture when he hung on the cross, he said something, and they put up a sponge, and on that sponge they used the word gall. It soaked in vinegar and gall. That word gall is myrrh. Isn't that interesting? And so each of these gifts, they were valuable, great value, and they were given as an act of worship. These gifts showed that Jesus held more value than these things that they brought. They gave away what was very costly, and they gave it to Jesus. He was their treasure, not the gold and frankincense and myrrh, and they laid it before him. And so my question to you this morning is, what do you give? You see, we need to give the right and or appropriate gift at Christmas too. I'm not talking about things you purchase for people. And your gifts that you give need to be of much more value than things. It's easy to give things. It's costly to give oneself. It's costly to give oneself. I read an anonymous quote, and it said, "For it is in giving that we receive." When you give of yourself, it's amazing the joy that floods your heart. Sadness disappears and depression disappears. They run away when we offer of ourselves to others. When you give people your time, your love, your forgiveness, your help, it brings great joy to your heart and awakens the true joy of Christmas in our spirits once again. So I ask you again, what do you give? See, Jesus came and he gave it all. Did you know he's our example? He came and he gave it all. He laid down his life for you. Have you intentionally planned how you will give of yourself this Christmas? That's a tough question. Have you thought about how can I give of myself this holiday season? When you think about it, Jesus said one of the most important things is to love God with all your heart. And then what is the next thing it says? To love people as you love yourself, right? Those are the two things. And so we're supposed to be giving of ourselves, to love others, to pour ourselves over others. I read this quote by a Lebanese American writer and poet, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name. It says, "You give but little when you give of your possessions. It is when you give of yourself that you truly give." So next to loving Jesus, we're called to love others. Pouring out love on those around us is the greatest gift of all. And it's so easy for Christmas to be so inside and inclusive. It's all about where you're doing and what you're doing and where you're headed and on your list and checking it off and doing the things that are supposed to do. And we forget the thing that Christmas is all about. And it's of giving of ourselves to those around us. That's why asking someone to church next Sunday is a great plan. It's giving of yourself to others. You see, the wise men gave of themselves at great cost. They intentionally made a difficult journey, probably somewhere between 800 and 1,000 miles. And when you talk about on a camel, that's a long journey. To find the one they sought, their sacrifice brought them more than they ever understood. Such joy and wonder was the end result of their giving. And they experienced Jesus, and they walked away, and they were never the same again. You see, when we come into his presence and we seek him for the joy, and we seek him for the satisfaction, and we look to him for all that we need, there's something that happens in us, and we change, and we never are the same again. And that's what Jesus wants us to be. He doesn't want us to get through the season. He doesn't want us to just survive Christmas. That's not in his heart. His heart is that he might use you to touch other people. Because people are tender at this time of year. People will let you say things that maybe you couldn't say any other time. And so how might you give of yourself this season? What might you give? I promise that when you look for the right thing in the right place and give the right gift, you will have joy at Christmas like the wise men did. Let your cup run over. Be the difference. Experience real joy. Jesus is the reason for the season. So would you stand with me? Father God, you told me this morning that I had a powerful declaration, so I declare over our people an outpouring of your spirit that shifts the inside. I ask, Lord, that our eyes would be opened and our ears opened, and that we would see what you want us to see and do what you want us to do throughout the rest of this time. Oh God, use us. And I ask more than anything that you would cause a bubbling up, an overwhelming, wondrous joy to attach itself to their heart, and it would come out like rivers of living water, and there would be great laughter, great joy in the house, great joy in the homes, great joy in our nation, great joy in our county. God, will you pour out that which you are upon us, that we might participate in who you are and what you're doing. God, awaken us to you in a fresh new way. And we humbly, we come and say, thank you for coming as a babe. What a humiliating thing to do. Leave aside kingship and become an itty bitty helpless babe. And you did it for us, and we say thank you, Lord. We say thank you. We thank you for Christmas, Lord. We thank you that it means you came. Doesn't matter when it is, we thank you, God. And we ask for your love poured over your people. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Say yes to him. Say, I want that this morning. God, I want what you're doing. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. How we need you, Lord. How we need your joy. How we need your love. I thank you, Lord, that you do exceedingly, abundantly beyond what we ask or think. And so I just receive. Say, we receive all that you're offering this morning. Cause us to walk after your heart full of joy. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor, because you're worthy.
Jesus has come. He is King. And he came to give us joy and peace. Amen. Amen. Put your hand in your heart this morning and receive his peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace in Jesus' name. Go in his grace today.